Let's talk prophecy, the apocalypse. Pastor Paul Begley back with us, and we'll jump right into it in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie back with you, along with Pastor Paul Begley. He is back with us, a fourth-generational preacher, taking after his father, grandmother, great-grandfather. He was ordained by Dr. Lester Sumrall in the LEC organization of Southman, Indiana, currently co-pastors with his father, Pastor Charles Begley, at the Community Gospel Baptist Church in Knox, Indiana. Pastor Paul hosts a weekly telecast of the coming apocalypse and is broadcasting regularly on YouTube as Paul Begley 34 as an internet radio talk show host. Paul, welcome back to the program. I can't think of a better time to have you back.
This is the year, George. I mean, so glad to be back with you. And the craziest year I've seen, really prophetically, in my lifetime.
I agree. They could not have written a better script for this year. Jeez, it's crazy, isn't it? What?
And we're not even halfway there yet. I mean, we've still got we've got a solar eclipse coming up on the 21st of June. You know, on the right at the summer solstice, almost, I think the day after, which is going to go over the Holy Land. So the sun is going to be dark, a ring of fire over the entire Holy Land for 6 hours before we get a blood moon on the 4th of July. So this is one of those years.
Why do events, weather events, cosmological events, kind of dictate prophecy?
Yeah, it's a great question, George. You know, whenever you study the Bible all the way through, every time, whatever's going on in the spiritual world manifests in the physical. So if there's wars going being fought in the heavens, let's say, between the angelic host against Lucifer's demonic forces, if there's Michael is in battle with Prince of Persia, then the manifestation on the earth is very similar to that. If there's disruptions going on in the cosmos, the earth experiences it, and that could be proven scientifically, but also biblically and spiritually. It's just unbelievable how we see this manifestation, whether it be great typhoons and storms, or whether it be straight-line winds, volcanoes, earthquakes, but all the way through the prophetically through the ancient texts of the Bible, the more intense things get prophetically, the exact same thing happens naturally on the planet.
We're going to go through some of these events in just a moment here, Paul, but give us all a little biblical lesson here. When we hear the word prophecy, exactly what does that mean to us?
Well, prophecy is a prediction or a revelation, really. It's a revealing of what is going to take place. And what's amazing about the Bible is it doesn't give it to you in exact detail, okay? Sort of like Nostradamus kind of gives you riddles. The Bible will give you some clarification and even justification for a prophecy, but it is a master plan. And especially when you study the book of Revelation, and it really matches a lot in the book of Daniel. So what you begin to see is a plan being played out. You see God's plan for mankind, but you also, he reveals to us Lucifer's plan to destroy mankind. And so prophecy gives us the clues that when you see this, then know that this is about to happen. And I really love reading. The easiest way is to just read Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, because that's Jesus's layman's plan of prophecy. You can pretty well follow it, and it'll match the rest of the Old Testament and New Testament as it relates to the apocalypse.
And Paul, is prophecy things that will be or could be?
Well, it's both. There's some of it is things that will be unchangeable, can't stop it. You might delay it.
Mm-hmm.
You might, but you can't shut it all the way down. But also prophecy can say, we'll say this, meets with a condition. You can be given a prophecy. For instance, one of the greatest prophets of all time was the prophet Isaiah. Well, I mean, he nails everything throughout his book. But when he's told to tell King Hezekiah to set his house in order, he's going to die. Then when he tells him that, he leaves the palace. He just barely gets to the gate, And God makes a deal with Hezekiah and says, you know what? If you repent and change your ways, I'll give you 15 more years. And Hezekiah says, well, how will I know? And he says, I'll move the sun backwards by 10 degrees. And when Hezekiah accepts the deal, then God speaks to Isaiah and says, hey, guess what? Turn around and go back and tell him now he's going to live.
Jeez. Okay?
So he becomes a false prophet because he just prophesied.
Right.
And before, Jonah's the same way.
I'd take that deal too, though.
Destroy the city. What's that?
I would take that deal too.
Well, yes. And Jonah prophesied the destruction of Nineveh only to be left sitting under a gourd as a false prophet. The truth is, he was prophesying correctly, but when they met the condition, God changed his mind. So prophecy can change. Sometimes it can be changed, but the overall plan cannot be. Okay, so that's why it's important to study prophecy in its proper context.
And then the book Dr. Faustus, of course, Faustus cut a deal with the devil for a great life, wealth, everything you could imagine, but he had to give up his soul at the end, and he didn't want to do it when the time came. Do a lot of people, Paul, also cut the deal with the devil?
Absolutely, George. Absolutely.
Oh, boy.
And every person in their lifetime comes to the crossroads of decision, and they've been enlightened. And at that point, they know that when they take a certain path, it may lead to temporary pleasure or temporary satisfaction. But ultimately, there is a price to pay. You know, the scripture says, for the wages of sin is death. So, you know, you can cut the deal with the devil if you want to, but I highly recommend not to do it.
I agree with that. Where do we stand on the apocalyptic scale of time right now, in your opinion?
My opinion, it's about 2 minutes to midnight. I think doomsday clock might even be closer. If you take a step back, 10 years ago, if you had asked me, George, where are we in Bible prophecy, I probably would have took you to a specific chapter or book in the Bible and said, we're kind of right here now.
Yeah.
But today, if you ask me, I mean, it's a convergence, okay? It's everything from the apocalyptic weather conditions to the incoming asteroid belts to the social disruption. It's everything. And there is a scripture in the book of Luke that says there'll be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and distress of nations with perplexity. The sea, the waves will be roaring, and men's hearts have failed them for fear for looking after those things coming upon the earth. Right now, people are still living in a total state of panic and fear over the COVID-19.
Oh, sure.
Some have still not even come out of their house yet. They're so paralyzed in fear. And there's the threat of war and rumors of war everywhere. We don't know if Kim Jong-un's going to shoot a rocket. You know, he said, Merry Christmas, here comes your Christmas gift. The only thing we got was a coronavirus epidemic out of Asia, which makes a lot of people wonder where that came from.
Mm-hmm.
But all of these convergence, and when I look at America and I see we were having the three of the greatest prosperous years in the history of this republic, and how in 6 months, we could see a pandemic followed by, it's reverse of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It's supposed to be the white horse of the beast kingdom, then the red horse of war or taking peace, and then the dark black horse of the economy, finally the pale horse of pandemics and disease. We got the opposite. We started with the disease, then we went to an economic collapse, and now we're rioting in the streets and we don't have peace. So we're in a reverse curse here. This is something prophetically, I believe, is temporary then, because it's not going in the right order, that this will pass.
And well, that's good.
Days ahead, but, we got to look for the silver lining.
Because I keep telling myself, I mean, what else can happen to us? What else can go wrong? I mean, it's like this year, it's one thing after another. I got to tell you, Paul, I can't tell you how many people have come up to me, emailed me, called me, that said, this year is the worst year they have ever had in their life. And we're only halfway through it.
Exactly. And we've never, in America, we've never never experienced the fact that we couldn't be free. You had to cover your mouth. You had to stand 6 feet apart.
You couldn't go to a restaurant. You couldn't go to a certain place to shop. We never had that happen to us.
No. The churches closed on Easter Sunday for the entire country.
Good point.
George, never in history has this ever happened. Mecca closed. The Vatican closed. The Temple Mount in Jerusalem closed. That has never happened in the history of the world. We experienced that this year. So we're in unprecedented waters. We are in the apocalyptic hour, and I'm telling myself it can't be this bad the second half of the year. And the Lord said to me, "You better not hold your breath. There's more to come."
Oh boy, just what we need. How much of this prophetic things that are happening, Paul, are results of what we're doing as mankind? I mean, like, you know, the weather's happening and stuff, and we can't control that generally. But how much is happening because of us, because of our actions?
Most of it is. The COVID-19 is absolutely us.
Yep.
I mean, it apparent it came out of the Wuhan lab.
I'm pretty sure it did, too.
Yeah, and whether it's a bioweapon or whether it was an accident, some guy didn't wash his hands and went out to eat some shrimp at the wet market, I don't know. But
sold those tainted animals from the lab to the wet market.
Right.
I think
that's exactly right.
That's what they did.
Yes. Yes. And that, to me, that looks deliberate. That's a way you just totally deliberately try. And remember, we've been in a trade war. The United States and China has been literally in a massive trade war. President Trump and President Xi, and we've been kicking their butt, to be honest. The tax breaks, the deregulation, the moving the factories back to America, the tariffs on the Chinese trade goods, and there was no stopping it. This was a roaring machine. The only thing that could slow this thing down would be a pandemic and put everything at a halt. So I'm suspicious of that, that's been done by the hands of evil men, and that's caused the economic collapse and now the rioting. Yes, it was a man who murdered a man in Minnesota. There's no doubt about it. And this has caused a reaction. So it's really all evilness within mankind that has caused most of what we're dealing with in this year. And so that can be turned around, and that's the silver lining. We're going to have a blood moon on the 4th of July. And if you study our republic, and I went back and looked, I can't find it nowhere where there's a blood moon ever on the 4th of July over America. So this is a very prophetic moon. But it isn't going to be full blood. It's going to have silver. It's going to only be half blood moon, half silver. And so I said, "Lord, what's going on?" He said, "The Republic is suffering, but there's a silver lining. This has all been man-manufactured and man-reaction, but not I didn't do this." And this is what I got from the Lord. I didn't do this. And so this will end. But there is apocalyptic events coming that God is fully in control of. That's a different story. We can't really do much with that, but be ready to deal with it.
Paul, if I understand Revelation, in the long run, we're going to be okay when the dust settles, but it's going to be a bouncy road along the way, right?
That's exactly right. You know, that's exactly right. It's going to be bouncy. There's going to be, you know, there's injustices that God has to fix. And we'll fix. He'll hold man accountable. And so every individual has to check himself. He has to ask himself where he stands with God. And has he made the full cleansing of the soul with the Lord? And so, but no matter what state we're in, no matter what kind of situation we're in, you know, it's sort of like this. I preached a message one time. It's not what you're going through that God is worried about. It's how you handle it. And if you... how you handle your neighbor, how you handle the situation that we're in makes a difference on whether we'll be okay when the dust settles. And so, yes, it's going to be tough. And we got more to go through. There's a lot more yet to come. But we're at a breaking point now where people are on edge.
Oh, my God.
And really are really frazzled and scared and paranoid. And some of that has got to break loose. We got to open up the stadiums again. We got to get back to work. We really just got to get things rolling.
We just played that song, "We're Not Going to Take It" by Twisted Sister. A lot of people are at that point. They can't take it anymore. What do they do?
Absolutely. Amen. Well, you know what? You can't live in fear. Okay. You follow the protocols to the best, especially during the height of this. But once we study this thing and we understand what's going on with the COVID, and the same thing with the rioting, people are very afraid now, and folks are scared for their own neighborhoods or what have you. What we have to do, though, is we can't live in fear. We must go forth in faith, but cautious, aware of our surroundings,
right,
and trust in a higher power, trust in God, allow him to direct your path, and not live in fear, because fear will paralyze you, break down your immune system, and spiritually leave you destitute and wondering if God even cares about you. You can't walk like that.
Paul, what about the good people, the righteous people, the people who are doing the best they can? They get pulled in on this apocalyptic situation too. I mean, so how do they escape it? How, when prophecy occurs and these horrible things happen, don't they affect everybody on the planet at the same, even if they've been good people? How do the good people escape? They can't, can they?
They can't escape what man is doing, but their escape is their relationship with God. For instance, a child living in an abusive home, the child is innocent, has done nothing wrong, but the environment it lives in could be hell on earth. Could there still be hope for the child? Yes. Many people have survived that environment and went on to be very good and productive individuals and great fathers and mothers. If you're a Christian or a Muslim living in China right now, either one, you're living a very dangerous life. Your faith has to be strong, but you could end up in the gulag or end up in one of the a prison camps. Same thing in North Korea. So people need to understand that even if you're a good person, you can be caught up in the net of the chaos, and that's part of what the Bible said would happen, and it's part of the reason why there has to be a remedy to mankind's evil, really. I mean, it's almost like it was in the days of Noah. It said men's hearts were on evil continually, and every imagination was on evil. So we can be caught up in it, but I have the confidence and faith in Jesus Christ that God will help us get through these periods of time. Through faith, and only through faith, because you could literally just absolutely just fall dead or just give up, and people do when they're in the middle of a storm.
You don't seem scared by what you know.
No, I'm not. Not at all. Zero. And I say that with only with confidence in God, not in myself. If I look to myself to fix all this, I would be absolutely
frozen
in fear. But I don't. And I also know by reading the book of God's promises for the people who choose to walk with him. And if you once you understand that, you put on that shield of faith, then you can. You can walk with victory. You can be blessed. And it don't matter what's going on with the stock market. It doesn't matter what's going on in any other market. You can walk in the kingdom of God's blessing and not allow these things to completely derail you. I'm not saying it doesn't affect us. It does. But not derail us.
All right, we're going to take a break with Paul Begley, the pastor. When we come back, we're going to talk about 10 points that he sees as prophetic signs. We'll go through each one. Next hour, we'll take phone calls with you as well as we talk about prophecy right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Pastor Paul Begley, as we talk about prophecy. We will take calls with Paul next hour here on Coast to Coast, and his website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com, and he has an internet radio show you can find on YouTube called Paul Begley, B-E-G-L-E-Y, 34. Just put that up there in the search bar. Paul, let's go through these 10 possibilities of prophecy and trigger points and have you explain what they are. You touched a little bit on the blood moon over America July 4th. Tell us the significance of that.
Well, obviously, July 4th, George, being the our Declaration of Independence, the fact that this blood moon will cover the entire nation And it starts at 11:07 p.m. Eastern, so it'll be at the midnight hour over Washington. And we'll turn blood red. About half of the moon will turn blood red. Half of it will remain silver. So there'll be this silver lining in this. And when I look at everything going on this year and over the last several years, the political environment in Washington, which we call the swamp, we've never seen such diversity, and we've never seen such this hatred almost. I mean, literally to the point we're almost saying hatred, yep. I hate to say. But America is tore apart. It's bleeding. The governors, there's confusion on what's the right thing to do about COVID. There's confusion about other events taking place. And it's a political year. So, and with everything going on, as crazy as this year is, you start to wonder, what is God saying? Why is a blood moon over our nation on the 4th of July, on the craziest year we can remember? It is God's way of saying prophetically, you are nearing the end. This is a warning. Hmm. Get it together. Pull together. Because remember what our founders have told us, and even Abraham Lincoln, united we stand, divided we fall. We do have to figure out a way to work together as a society. And so this is a major prophetic warning, but I see a silver lining. I believe we will pull it together. The stock market was at 29.5 when it fell to 19.5, and now it's back over 27,000. People are getting back to work. Once the stadiums open, once college football comes back, kids go back to school. The COVID will still be here, but I think that people will start to settle back into some kind of normality. Let's hope that we don't self-destruct in the political arena, and that's the silver lining here. I see hope, but we have to do things to make that work. So the ball's in our court.
Now, the signs that we're going to go through here, we're going to go through the other rest of the 10, but do they all stand together, or can you just have a couple of them and still have this prophetic possibility?
They kind of stand together because all of them basically are extraordinary events that cause people to stop and have to deal with it. The locust is one for sure. We've not seen locust swarms like this maybe in history. It certainly is bad or worse as it was in the days of the Pharaoh and the days of the 10 plagues of Egypt. I mean, as we speak, George, Kenya and Somalia and Ethiopia and Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Pakistan, India, China, Iran, literally devastation in North Africa and parts of the Middle East. There's going to be massive famine that is going to hit by the winter in North African countries because their crops have been literally devoured. And already in America and Europe is facing the same thing. The COVID set us back in our supply chain of food. All of these butchers and the meat packaging plants that got hit so hard with COVID and had to shut down has really, and we have pigs and cows and chickens being slaughtered everywhere that had to be put down that did not make it to market. This causes a massive backlog, and when you have swarms of locusts eating all the crops in some of the most third world nations that are struggling for food.
Yeah, they barely have crops as it is.
Yes, this is going to create a global problem for prices of food is going to soar, and shortages of food is going to hit. We're going to have famine. So we're watching events that were already told in the Bible. Jesus said there will be famines, there will be pestilence, there will be disease and major earthquakes. So They do a domino effect. It is a prophetic tie together.
You had mentioned the solar eclipse over Israel June 21st for about 6 hours. That, too, is a sign.
Oh, most definitely. And if we look in the next few days, the President Trump's deal of the century, which Jared Kushner has been working on for months and months, actually probably 2 years, this deal is going forward, George. I've been to Israel 10 times. Every time I go, more new roads are being paved. New rail systems are going in. All of this is anticipating a two-state solution. There's checkpoints they're building in the middle of the desert where there's no reason for a checkpoint.
So they will take care of the they will take care of the Palestinians then.
Yes, they will.
That's a necessity.
And this is important. The money that's going to be pouring in from Saudi Arabia and from the United Arab Emirates and Kuwait and what have you is going to help build infrastructures for the Palestinian people. The literally in the plan, the Gaza Strip will be turned into a Vegas Strip. There'll be new airports, new seaports that Egypt will participate.
Oh, that's
so
that is great.
Really this is a covenant with many. And a lot of biblical scholars see this as potentially the seven-year peace treaty theory that brings peace. I think Trump has done it the right way by trying to build the economic advantages, and then people can get along better. And I could tell you, Palestinian people do get along well with the Israeli people. The common people do, for the most part, when you're in Israel. But you do have some radicals that continue to cause
right.
a problem.
Well,
and I do look for a brighter day.
And if they put the young Palestinians to work, that's going to help a lot, too.
Unbelievable. It will be an unbelievable change in the mentality. When people have hope, they are less prone to do violent acts.
Oh, that's one of our problems here at home right now, Paul, in addition to the real protests that they have the right to do. The problems that are occurring are magnified because people are out of work and they're laid off and they don't have anything to do.
Exactly, George. Prior to the COVID pandemic, we had the highest employment in the history of the world, the greatest economy this nation's ever experienced.
Yep.
Had we not had the COVID and we had had the incident in Minnesota, we would have probably not seen the reaction as intense as we've seen it, because people were working, they got jobs, they're getting on with life. So, the old saying, idle hands is the devil's workshop. You really got to keep people working and being productive.
More of these apocalyptic events, African killer hornets in Washington State. These things are 2 inches long, Paul.
Yes, and what's amazing about these is, supposedly they accidentally arrived. The odds of them arriving the same year as the COVID and everything else that's going on is just kind of shocking. They are killers. They are dangerous. It's too late to turn them back now. They're in Washington State. They will continue to multiply. Matter of fact, the year we're having is set up a perfect breeding ground for them this year. So look for them to really, really grow in the next 2 to 3 years there. And not only Washington State, they'll go on into Oregon, and they'll continue to spread across the country. This is a problem that's not going to go away anytime soon. This is definitely hornets were in the Bible as well. God would send them out. He released the hornets upon some of the tribes of the giants, of the Canaanites, in the Bible. So here we go again with another plague. Coming upon America and the Northeast. And what's really weird is Washington State was also the first place that the COVID hit.
Yeah, that's right, in that nursing home. That's right.
Yes.
Now,
again, we're watching the domino effect.
Tell us about this 4-pound series of hail in Mexico and Texas.
Yes, just in the last 30 days, we had hailstorms hit Texas. First of all, the one hit in Mexico, hail the size of melons, some weighed as much as 4 pounds, took down the largest supermarket in all of Mexico City. I mean, completely collapsed the building. And then a week later, we had hail in northern Texas, one hailstone the size of a bowling ball. It weighed 5.6 pounds. It came through a house, through the roof, and through the ceiling into the living room floor. Thank God never hit anybody. But we're seeing more and more massive, large hailstorms. Now, that, I believe, is due to the fact that we're having more straight-line winds, stronger straight-line winds, and that's due to the fact that we're getting waves of energy. Some would say it's coming from Planet X or Nibiru or some kind of binary system, that these waves of energy and this dust, this iron oxide dust that is settling, charged particles, they're settling on our atmosphere, the atmospheric compression. They're pushing the jet stream down, causing straight-line winds to be stronger. When that happens, you will get larger hail. The Bible says that as you get closer to the apocalypse, the hail will weigh as much as 50 to 75 pounds.
Jeez.
So what I'm seeing, which that's insane to me, but then again, 4 to 5 pound hail is insane to me. So again, it's all happening in this year, 2020, and we're experiencing these phenomenons while we're having social unrest, wars and rumors of wars, and technology advancements racing us toward a mark of the beast kingdom not far away. It's a combination. It's a convergence. As a matter of fact, convergence, my birthday, George, is December 21st, 2020. All right? Now, I had to go through the Mayan calendar into the world.
That's right.
And I had
a party
that day because I knew it wouldn't be the end of the world because it wasn't a biblical prophecy. But this one, we're going to have a conjunction, the great conjunction, first time in 1,000 years with Jupiter and Saturn coming together, creating the brightest star in the sky since the Star of Bethlehem. It's coming this year, George, December 21st. Are you serious? Are you serious?
I love that. I love it. You mentioned the COVID-19. That's a sign too, isn't it?
It is, because plagues, pestilence, major diseases are going to break out. And I was in prayer about COVID-19 and after having prayer and went to and had a dream a couple nights later where I seen this dark cloud over top the sky. And as I began to pray, the Lord told me, said, this COVID-19 shall pass, but more plagues shall come. And you should let people know we're just going to keep rolling into plague after plague. Some of them are man-made, biological weapons, or just accidental releases. Some of them will be God sent for judgment, but we're going to have more disease and plagues than ever before. George, we almost have 8 billion people on the planet. Disease is inevitable.
Oh,
my
God.
Matter of fact, the bird flu is probably going to be the greatest pandemic of them all. Look for it. Look for it to hit the earth within the next 3 years, because it has mutated so many times that it's going to jump. It's going to take the jump from bird to bird to bird to human to human to human. When that happens, we're one mutation away from human to human, then you're going to see a pandemic of biblical proportion.
Now, what about mutant ticks from Russia? What the heck are they?
Well, we don't know. These ticks are so big you won't believe it. They're twice the size of normal ticks. They've hit Russia. They are sucking the blood out of people. But worse than that, they're carrying disease with them.
Oh, my God, yeah.
There's a great fear of another West Nile virus.
Yep.
Outbreak.
And Lyme disease and everything else.
Yes. And so these we're in a situation now, George, where pathogens, if they are carried by insects, and here's the problem with insects. As we create GMO seed, changing the crop, life has a way to evolve in a way that the insects are now mutating to deal with the changing of the seed. We were told in the Bible to never mix the seed, to never mingle the seed. It was one of the requirements of the creation.
Yep. Don't play around with Mother Nature.
Don't do it. Don't do it, George. You'll have to pay the price later.
So true. Now, what about these toxic toads in Florida, for crying out loud?
Again, we're talking about another Asian invasion. The Asian hornets in Washington State, killer hornets, they came out of Asia. COVID comes out of Asia. I'm just being honest with you. These toads are the largest toads in the world. They're from Asia. Somebody let them into, the sugarcane farmers brought them in because they wanted the toads to jump up and eat the beetles.
Jeez, they're as big as a hand, aren't they?
They're bigger than your hand, yes. They're huge, and they can't jump. So they can't jump and eat the beetles.
They're too big.
What they can do is multiply, and there's no predator for them in North America. So, and they're very toxic. They have toxic glands behind their eyes. If your dog gets near them and starts to lick them, your dog can just get paralyzed and fall over dead.
Jeez.
They can even kill humans if you consume these toads. So, and they're growing in mass. They're massive in the Everglades in Florida, and they will continue. So look for terrorizing toxic toads in Tampa before it's over, George.
Paul, when we come back, I want to talk about asteroid threats, the Antichrist, aliens as well, and then we'll get into phone calls. Paul Begley with us, the pastor, talking about prophecy.